from KQED.
From KQED Radio in San Francisco, this is Forum. I'm Spencer Michaels. The Los Angeles Times is about to publish 6,000 individual teacher evaluations based on test scores of students in their classes. The teachers' union has called for a boycott of the newspaper, objecting strenuously to the publication of the teachers' names and rankings. The incident has touched off a big debate on the subject that has been controversial for a long time, evaluation of teachers. President Obama's education secretary has endorsed the public release of information. Others have decried it. Coming up, a discussion on how to evaluate teachers, what used to make of standardized tests, and how to resolve this very sticky issue. It's ahead on Forum right after this. Good morning. Welcome to Forum. I'm Spencer Michaels, in for Michael Krasny. It seems as though the topic of evaluating teachers has been with us for a very long time. This month, the Los Angeles Times is adding fuel to the fire by announcing it will print the names of 6,000 teachers and their effectiveness as determined by how their students perform on standardized tests. The publication of the names has infuriated the Los Angeles Teachers Union, which has called for a boycott of the newspaper. But Arne Duncan, President Obama's Secretary of Education, said that parents have the right to know if their children's teachers are effective. It was the first time the administration has expressed support for public airing of information about teacher performance. Meanwhile, a bill in the California legislature will allow students to rate their own teachers if it passes. So this hour, the debate, and we'll talk about the whole situation. And with us to do that are Katie Van Ginkel, who is a student at Arroyo Pacific High School in Southern California, and she's with the California Association of Student Councils. Bonnie Reese is with us. She's California's Secretary of Education and Arnold Schwarzenegger's education person. Good morning, Bonnie Reese.
Good morning.
Gary Ravani is the president of Early Childhood K-12 Council for California Federation of Teachers. He's a middle school teacher in Petaluma, or was, for 31 years. He retired in 2008. Good morning, Gary Ravani.
Morning.
And David Cohn is with us in the studio. He teaches 9th and 10th grade English at Palo Alto High School, and he's a leader of Accomplished California Teachers, an organization associated with Stanford University, interested in this whole subject of evaluation of teachers. Bonnie Reese, I think we should start with you. The whole concept of evaluating teachers based on how their students do on tests. Good idea from the administration's point of view?
Well, we agree with President and 40 other states do, too, that entered Race to the Top and said that teacher evaluations and teacher effectiveness should, in part, not in total, but in part, be based on how they help their students do academically.
And that means tying it directly? If the students of a certain teacher don't do that well on a standardized test, that's a black mark for the teacher.
Well, the leaders of the 100 school districts that supported the plan we put forth said that they want to do it in connection with their collective bargaining partners, which are the teachers, and they figured they could do it within a 13-month period. They don't believe it should be based on one standardized test. They do believe it should be based on multiple measures. But to date, I know when you introduced this topic, you said that teacher evaluation has been a hot topic for a long time. But it's been blocked by most of the teachers' unions from moving forward to create a system for equally as long a time. And nothing's more important to student achievement than an effective teacher in a classroom and an effective principal in the school. And we're really, really encouraged and hope that this creates the momentum for the leaders of the teachers' union to sit down with their collective bargaining partners and, rather than complain why one method isn't fair or another method isn't fair, to create a system that is based on multiple measures so we can begin evaluating effective teachers, and where teachers we're seeing are not terribly effective, give them the professional support they need so they can become effective. And if after all that they're still ineffective, then they shouldn't be teaching our children.
We'll get into some of those issues, and you bring up a lot of them, but the concept the concept of trying to work with the teachers' unions. I mean, the immediate response of the L.A. teachers' union was to say, we're going to boycott the newspaper. That doesn't sound like it's bringing people together at all.
Well, while Duffy, who runs the L.A. teachers' union, is doing the boycott, and we think that his time and the leader's time could be way better spent rather than boycotting the paper and sitting down with their district leaders and creating an evaluation that they would consider fair. But as a matter of fact, about 3 weeks ago, Duffy did sit down with the leaders of his school district and with seven other school districts and their teachers' unions to begin the dialogue.
It sounds like the Congress to some extent, where people are doing various things that don't always seem to exactly match what their rhetoric is.
But I think that's why the L.A. Times is doing what it is. There's a frustration among parents in L.A. and across this state that's just bubbling over, and they're tired of excuses when we don't allow our kids to have excuses when they have to take exams and they get grades, and a standardized test, SATs, are a big factor of how they get gained admission into college. And rather than sitting around and debating, is the cultural bias, are those tests fair, our kids are in a competitive world. They're judged by scores. They're judged by grades. And I think the parents are just so frustrated that the teachers' unions are just continuing with excuses for why they can't be any evaluation as to their effectiveness, rather than sitting at the table and coming up with how we can do it.
Gary Ravani is with the California Federation of Teachers. He's a middle school teacher in Petaluma, or was for 31 years. What do you say to Bonnie Reese and the endorsement, essentially, of using this method?
Well, I see a bit of a contradiction here. One, the secretary just described the process of the union sitting down with management and working through a collective bargaining process to develop an evaluation system using multiple measures as part of the evaluation process. Well, that's precisely what didn't happen with the LA Times issue. What they did was take one single set of scores from one test, which is not multiple measures, and then suggest that that could be used to effectively evaluate teachers. That's what the unions are objecting to. And then second, evaluation as part of a personnel process. I think everybody is aware that personnel issues are traditionally confidential between management and employee. The one exception I can think of is some of these CEOs lately, and their dismissal and why has been made public. And then they have been set forth with a, $12 million retirement package.
Only happens in Bell, I think, in the state. Gary, Bonnie Reese breaks an interesting point that parents and I guess students to some extent are frustrated and have been for a long time by bad scores, by bad teaching, by kids not learning enough, and it's kind of boiling over, she says. And isn't that in fact true? And isn't the public entitled to say, we got to try something new here?
Well, I think they, we probably do need to try something new. But again, let me suggest that several years ago, the state of California passed an evaluation system, or part of an evaluation system, called Peer Assistance and Review. And that required districts and management, unions and management, to sit down and work out exactly what the secretary just talked about. A teacher would be evaluated, and if there seemed to be a problem, assistance would be given to that teacher, sometimes with a mentorship relationship with another highly qualified teacher in the district, sometimes by sending the teacher to some workshops or extra classes or something, and they could work towards improvement. However, the state of California defunded peer assistance and review. So that was basically eliminated. So the unions actually went out and did it. And then the state turned around and said, this has been so effective, apparently, that we don't need it anymore. So we, of course, would disagree with that. So we have done exactly what the secretary is talking about. The second thing is, just how do parents feel about what's going on in education? I don't know where the secretary gets her information. What I do know is one of the major...
Well, can't you feel it, though? I mean, it's sort of in the air.
Yeah. Well, is it really, though? Phi Delta Kappan, which is one of the major professional journals in the United States on education, yearly does, in concert with the Gallup polling group, polling of, you know, what public attitudes towards education are. And interestingly, in the last 5 or 6 years, the ratings, and they use an A, B, C, D, F rating for the schools and teachers, interestingly, the ratings have been going up, 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 not down, down, down. And in fact, when you take the general public, the current grade is about a B plus, which is again the highest in many, many years. When you get the parents who are actually associated, who actually go into schools, who actually work with classroom teachers, they're giving the schools an A minus. So the closer you get to schools, and that, of course, applies to parents, the better the public really thinks the schools are doing. So there's a current mythology about all kinds of frustration and, you know, parents unhappy about what's going on. Certainly in some communities it's true, but in general it isn't.
Well, you make a good point. All right, I want to turn to David Cohn now, who teaches at Palo Alto High School and is a leader of the Accomplished California Teachers. David, your publication states that many of the ways of evaluating teachers look very much the same as they did in 1971. That's a long time ago, when the California legislature enacted the STAL Act. Most evaluations pay little or no attention to the performance of a teacher's students at all. So with that background, what do you make of this whole situation? Is it time to make some big changes?
Certainly, yeah. As far as the whole situation, that's quite a big piece to start with. But the part that you just mentioned there is one of the important findings that is featured in our report. The teachers that we talk to are teacher leaders from around the state, from charter schools and traditional public schools, from every grade level and subject we could muster. We had 13 teachers participate. And we all agree that student outcomes should be part of a teacher evaluation. The standardized test scores that were used in the LA Times and the standardized tests that are used in a lot of these discussions are deeply flawed. If they're one of multiple measures,
What's flawed? Excuse me. Is it the test that's flawed, or is it the way they evaluate them, or what?
The tests themselves are flawed. The uses of them are flawed. The assumptions about them are flawed. The tests, I could go into a big, long list. I'll just give you one example of why I wouldn't look at standardized test results to evaluate my teaching, and that is, as an English teacher, a lot of the test items are not what's called instructionally sensitive, which means that a lot of my students walk into my classroom with background knowledge and skills that would enable them to answer the questions before I teach anything. And so it's really hard to read into the test items, many of which are ambiguous, poorly worded. I can't get into as much detail as I'd like because I'm forced to sign a non-disclosure agreement by the state.
Okay. All right, let's hear a little bit from the student perspective. Katie Van Ginkle will be a senior next week at Arroyo Pacific High School in Southern California. You're on the student council.
Right.
If you had your druthers, how would you like to see teachers evaluated, or would you?
Right. As the governmental affairs director for the California Association of Student Councils, I think that something really important, they've talked a lot about opening the dialogue between the administration and the teachers, but the parents aren't sitting in the classroom. The administration only sit in the classroom for a few days a year. I think we need to begin to open the dialogue between teachers and students. I think, honestly, we need to stop alienating students from the process. A lot of times, it's really easy to feel very powerless and voiceless in a school because students seem not interested in what the students have to say about the ways that they're teaching us, but we are the ones being taught. So who better to ask and who better to help evaluate their teachers?
So if a bunch of students aren't doing very well in a low-achieving school, mm-hmm. do you go to them and you ask them what's wrong here?
I completely believe so. I think that students are thought to be a lot less thoughtful than they actually are. I know a lot of arguments have been brought up about knuckleheads in classrooms and different things, but A, who is anyone to call anyone a knucklehead? And these kids will be voting in just a few years. Not only that, but these are the people who are being taught who better to ask. Right now, we have a bill that's going to be on the governor's desk, and it's SB 1422. Now, what this bill is going to do is it would authorize the ASBs of schools to work collaboratively and create a
ASB's student body?
The student bodies, the leadership class, whatever kind of institution they have. And basically what would happen is you'd take the student body and administration and the teachers and the students and the parents, and you'd have them work collaboratively to create a survey that would really form to their school. And not only that, but represent the community and the environment that they're trying to create to push their school forward and really improve our education.
And it sounds very good, but I could see a cynic saying, well, you know, this is a little touchy-feely here. This is a nice idea. But what's needed in this country and politically is probably important is something very definite, something you can actually measure. And that's probably why it's emphasis on test scores.
But on the test scores, that really just tells you if it works or if it doesn't. It's a yes or no. And what we're offering is a how and why.
All right. Well, I'm interested in what Bonnie Reese has to say about that, California Secretary of Education. I mean, where is this debate going to go? It seems to be all over the place.
First, I want to say bravo to our student leader, and thank you for having her on this show, because the truth is, in all this, what gets lost is it's about the student. It's about making sure that the adults in the state, whether it's the elected leaders, the school principals, the district leaders, the teachers, the school principal, our primary responsibility is to deliver a quality education to every student that gets them either ready for college or for the competitive career and workforce.
So, Bonnie, can we take this as an endorsement of the bill that's going to come to the governor's desk? He's going to sign it?
I'm not allowed to kind of give advance whether he signs or vetoes it until it gets on his desk, but let me just say this. The governor's always believed putting students first and the student voice is important. So if that's any indication of where it'll go. But I do want to say that because our focus should always be, we could talk about failed statistics, our focus should be on students. And while, yes, some schools do great, we have a high school in LAUSD, El Camino Real, it's won the national academic decathlon 7 years in a row. But the reality is, out of our 6 million students, particularly our high-poverty students, our African-American, our Latino, our English-language learners, they're falling further and further behind. And we have an obligation to every single student. Now, out of the 300,000 teachers in California, the reality is that they're not all equal, and we've got to start recognizing in the profession that effectiveness matters, and we need to figure out whether it's multiple measures, however we do it, we've got to start moving in that direction. And the reality is that the teachers union to date has blocked that effort. There was a very, very light bill in the state legislature that the head of the LA Teachers Union, the California Teachers Association, came to testify against. It simply said that current state law allows that when districts have to lay off teachers, with very limited exceptions, it can only be based on seniority, not the effectiveness of teachers, not the needs of schools. The ACLU brought a civil rights lawsuit because it results in a terribly disproportionate impact on our high-poverty, low-performing schools. The fact that so the bill would say, districts, you need to start considering the effectiveness of teachers and the needs of schools. It didn't say how. It didn't say based on test. It didn't say value-added. It simply said, districts, you need to sit down. You need to start figuring this out. The LA Teachers Union, the California Teachers Association came and they testified against that bill. So that's what your listeners have to know, that even saying we should move in a direction that moves the state away from seniority only, you know, teachers all, the only way compensation is determined is based simply on seniority. The only way layoffs are determined, seniority only. it's time to move in the direction of recognizing that if we are going to put our students first, if we are going to recognize that we're leaving far too many children behind, while there are some great schools and great accomplishments, we're leaving far too many of our kids behind.
Well, Secretary Reese, let me pose this, though. Washington, D.C., which has a large minority population and a failing school system, went to the extreme of hiring Michelle Rhee, and she fired a whole bunch of teachers, and it caused a tremendous controversy. Maybe it's improved the schools. I think the verdict is still out on that. But is that the kind of wholesale get in there and make major changes that you think probably ought to happen in low-performing schools in California?
I think it's time to say, I'm not saying whether we need a wholesale firing of teachers. I hope we don't. Because honestly, teachers, we entrust our kids to teachers. It's a noble profession. But what we do need to do is create evaluations. We need to see where a teacher's effective. We need to have an evaluation system so we can make sure that these high-poverty schools have effective teachers. And then begin the dialogue, how do we get them support? Some two-year teachers are highly effective, and some 10-year teachers are, and some 10-year people that are teaching 10 years aren't. We need to start figuring this out so we can direct our professional development dollars where they're most needed to support teachers that need to be more effective.
Okay. Well, figuring it out, I mean, as I started at the beginning of this controversy seems to be as long as my career has been, which is pretty long. I've been talking about this for years.
Yep.
The question is, how come we don't have that evaluation system in place at this point? David Cohn seems to be wanting to get in here from Palo Alto High School. Go ahead.
Well, yes. Secretary Reese is talking about union opposition to bad ideas. And I think that's a great disservice that she does by casting this as a battle where we're on different sides, and we are not on different sides. We agree completely about what needs to be done in the long run and what the long-term goals are. But what unions have consistently been against is bad ideas based on bad science. This type of evaluation is opposed by the National Academies, the American Educational Research Association.
Just let me interrupt you. When you say this type of idea, you mean tying teacher evaluations to how their students are doing on standardized tests.
Right.
Just for people who joined
us a
little late.
Okay. Yeah. So lined up against this methodology are the National Academies. The U.S. Department of Education, actually, although they want this in the long run, they released a report last month showing 25% error rates in attempting to use test scores to identify good teachers or bad teachers. Depending on the test or the methods that you use to run the data, you have 25% error rates. You have the American Psychological Association and the National Council of Measurement in Education all saying that this approach has deep, deep complications, and we should really proceed with great caution. Meanwhile, let me finish the point about the unions, because to say that unions have this monolithic opposition to good teacher evaluation is just wrong. And Secretary Reese should know that there are some districts that do things differently, including Palo Alto Unified, Santa Clara, Poway. It seems like smaller districts may have more flexibility with this. And down in Poway near San Diego, they have a great collaboration between their local union and their district, and they have teachers who are deeply involved in evaluation and in hiring and firing decisions, and they are tough on their peers.
I don't know where Poway is, but I know Palo Alto, for example, mm-hmm. is a pretty heterogeneous district, and you're dealing with more or less upper-class kids who are doing pretty well in school. When you throw into the mix lower economic groups and minorities who don't do so well in school, doesn't that change the equation?
It changes the equation, but I think overall the bottom line is we want to see these decisions made by educators who know the demographics and know the schools and the context in which they're working, and let them have the flexibility to follow the principles in our report and craft a better evaluation system.
This hour is going by too quickly, and we'll get to some more comments in just a few minutes, but we are talking about the LA Times announcing it will rank teachers based on their students' performance on standardized tests. And the whole controversy over how do you evaluate teachers sounds like everybody has the same goals, but there are a lot of ways to get to those goals. So we will be back in just a short time to continue this discussion. You're listening to Forum on KQED-FM. I'm Spencer Michaels. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Spencer Michaels, in for Michael Krasny, and we're talking about teacher evaluations. The LA Times is going to print the names of 6,000 teachers and their rankings based on student performances on standardized tests. Very controversial. The LA Teachers Union is calling for a boycott of the LA Times. And with us to talk about that, in case you've forgotten, are Katie Van Ginkle, who is a student at Arroyo Pacific High School, a senior in L.A. County, Bonnie Reese, who's the Secretary of Education for California, Schwarzenegger's person on education, Gary Ravani, who is a middle school teacher in Petaluma, retired in 2008 and with the California Federation of Teachers, and David Cohn, who teaches at Pali High School, Palo Alto High School, and is a leader of the Accomplished California Teachers. Katie, we've sort of neglected you in all this, but you hear this conversation about test scores right. And all that. What have you been thinking?
I think that test scores can be a very good, beneficial way to evaluate a teacher's performance. But I think that if you don't bring students into the process, you're never going to get to the place that you want to be. And I think that's something that's very discouraging to me is that for the past 47 years at the Student Advisory Board on Education and the Student Advisory Board on Legislation and Education, students in California have presented to the State Board of Education and the Senate Education Committee proposals asking them to create a system so that students can evaluate their teachers. And for the past 47 years, it's been ignored. And every time it's been proposed as a bill, it's been shot down.
Well, and maybe this program is an example of why. I mean, this is fraught with politics, right. Fraught with emotion.
Right.
And students' own evaluations probably get pushed to the background a little bit because the unions and so forth. Incidentally, you can join this discussion, you and our audience, by calling 866-733-6786. In fact, we've already got a lot of phone calls ready to go. Email us at forum@kqed.org or leave a question or a comment on our website. Visit KQED.org/forum and click on this segment. Bonnie Reese, the politics of this seem a little bit overwhelming, and that's probably why not much has gotten done. What do you think?
Yeah, the politics are tough on this again, and I do want to comment, Spencer, on what David said, and he's right, and I should acknowledge that one-third of the districts that put the Race to the Top application together for California, their collective bargaining partners and unions signed on, including Fresno. So there are some wonderful teacher unions and their leadership in a lot of our school districts already working with their district leaders and trying to come up with teacher evaluation methods. But some still are not.
You know, as I was listening to Katie and earlier to you, and I was thinking to myself that a lot of people give lip service, or maybe they're sincere, they probably are sincere, to the idea that, of course, the students are the most important, we want to educate. Nobody is against improving education. It's getting beyond those platitudes, it seems to me, and really sitting down and figuring out a way to get together and get everybody on board. Gary Ravani, how can the CTA work with the Schwarzenegger administration, Arne Duncan, the rest of the power structure, so to speak, to get to a place where everybody is going to have to make some compromises?
Well, let me first mention I'm with the California Federation of Teachers, not CTA. There are our colleagues, certainly, but
I'm sorry.
A different union.
Yeah.
Well, I think what we have to do is get everybody to the table and begin talking about some realities. When we talk about what needs to happen in schools, we have known for some time that there need to be content standards, that there need to be performance standards, and that would include the assessments that are used, and that would also include teacher evaluations. But we also need to talk about standards of support And that's the third leg of the stool. And we're always talking about the other two legs, the standard content standards. We're talking about performance standards, and we're constantly trying to raise those standards. But when you have a three-legged stool and you're only talking about two of the legs all the time and not the third one, you're building a very system that's has a great deal of instability.
You're talking about money, right?
Well, I think we are talking about money. And again, in terms of standards of support, we're talking about class size, we're talking about librarians and libraries, we're talking about psychologists, we're talking about computers in the classroom, we're talking about nurses, we're talking about universal preschool, we're talking about a bunch of things, and those kinds of things are all absolutely necessary, all part of that third leg of what keeps the stool and the school system stable.
So are you essentially saying that if there were more money, if things were a little easier, that this issue on teacher evaluations would be easier to achieve?
I'm saying that the issue of teacher evaluation has to be part of the discussion of the entire system. It can't just be pulled out, just like you can't pull out a particular part of the curriculum.
That's an interesting
thought.
You need
to talk about how all the parts work together. And most of the time, the dialogue really isn't about that. And right now, we're talking about teacher evaluations and use of test scores to basically, I think, divert public attention from discussion of these other issues.
Well, that's an interesting point, I think. All right, I would like to take a few phone calls. We've got a ton of them here and some emails as well. Let's talk to Sandra in San Francisco. Hi, Sandra, you're on Forum.
Hi, yes, I'd like to do a public sort of thanks to the teachers that my students have had in San Francisco public schools at Alvarado James Lincoln School of the Arts. And mainly I've been happy as a parent because these schools have all fostered creative thinking in my kids. San Francisco has an arts education master plan that is an international model, and it just shows that we cannot rely on fill-in-the-bubble tests to measure our students' or our teachers' effectiveness because we need a multifaceted approach that encourages innovative, creative thinkers. I also feel, as a parent that's been very involved in my kids' schools, that school site councils, which represent families and teachers and students, need to have more say in who the team is brought into the school because I don't think that it can just be about tenure.
All right. Interesting point of view. Let's take another call here from Scott in Mill Valley.
Yes. My question is this. I got my PhD from Berkeley in 1984. At that time, in the School of Education, they were studying qualitative and quantitative methods for evaluating teacher performance. They were looking at what is valuable content, what is not valuable content for the students, what were motivators, what... So basically, since that time, I'm sure the same kind of research has been going on over and over and over again. And I'm wondering, how we're going to resolve what's getting in the way of making those methodologies that have been developed actually being put into place to evaluate these teachers, get rid of the ones that don't, that are not willing to take the support that's being offered to them and offer support to those that can use it.
Interesting question.
I know
question.
That was a long statement. But
no, I think it's worth talking about. David Cohn, what do you think?
There are some very promising practices in our report, and I think one thing that Scott brings up is how complicated it is. And yeah, it is the subject of years and years of research. And we need to I think it would also help to expand the conversation and realize that when we talk about the testing and that kind of stuff, we're talking about a minority of our public school teachers. And the goal of the people in our report was to talk about the principles that would improve teacher evaluation for every single teacher, every grade level, the arts teachers, the language teachers, the science teachers, not just look at reading and math. And there are some very promising practices in place that are in our report. And one that we are particularly impressed with, and most of us in the report have been through, is called National Board Certification, which is a very rigorous process of evaluation by outside evaluators. It involves evidence of student achievement. It involves analysis of videotapes. It involves 3 hours of testing for the teacher. A situation where you don't know what's coming and you have pedagogical questions thrown at you in 30 minutes to answer. And it's a very rigorous process and very well supported by a large body of research.
Thank you. We've got a lot of emails as well. I'd like to read a couple of them. Somebody suggests an article in the Wall Street Journal this morning, the essence of which is that fewer than 25% of college-bound students are prepared to do intro work in college based on a recent far-ranging study. This person, Scott in Fremont, says, the teachers' union is scared of their customers. Parents getting information says only one thing. They care more about their own pensions than they do about doing their job. There's no other way to spin it. We are falling behind the world. Those who are supposed to be preparing our country's future are gutting it instead. It's time to call it what it is. A pretty harsh statement. Gary Ravani, want to try to answer that?
Sure. Let me sum up that there seems to be the accusation that somehow the unions are standing, you know, in the way of moving forward with education and student achievement.
If that were true,
we could look at those places that don't have unions where teacher collective bargaining is illegal, which happens to be true for the whole southeastern quadrant of the United States. We would expect to see the highest achievement then in the United States in those states. And in fact, it's just the opposite. That's the lowest achievement. The quadrant of the United States in the northeast part of the country has the highest percentage of teachers who are involved with unions, and that quadrant also has the highest achievement. So try to suggest that there's some connection between low student achievement and unionization is just patently false.
Well, maybe that's false, but what about the concept that, you know, a union is basically for the benefit of its members? There's no question, but that's why unions were formed. And the email that we just read says they're protecting the teachers who are older, who may not be competent. We're talking about pensions. Isn't that at odds just philosophically with the idea of putting all your guts into making the schools better?
Well, you know, I think both unions, both CTA and CFT, see themselves as a, you know, bargaining agent in a union, but we also see ourselves as a professional organization. So we are, you know, certainly you can't think that teachers in this state or even in this country have entered the profession for the high pay.
All the
pensions are reasonable. But that certainly isn't something that's really going to draw people to a 30-year-long career. So union leadership and the unions come directly out of the classroom, as I did, 31 years in the classroom, 20 years working in a local. Every couple of weeks, we're in bargaining with management, working over things like class sizes, which we know a lower class size has the best chance of improving student achievement. Those dollars were out on the table, and certainly the union could go for either putting it into our paychecks, putting it into our benefits, putting it into our retirement, or we could put it into lowering class size and hiring more teachers. And I think we made every effort to create a sound balance and do both, keep class sizes as low as possible, as well as provide teachers with reasonable compensation. So I just find those accusations baseless.
Okay. David Cohn wants to add something
just
briefly.
One really quick thought about that is the job of unions is to negotiate contracts and ensure that they're carried out fairly. And so when people talk about unions protecting bad teachers, I like to think of it as unions demanding that a contract be upheld from both sides. And if people in the public and the community of school boards want to see those procedures change, all they need to do is sit down and negotiate it. And let's come up with a fair system that works. And the provisions are all negotiated. And I think my take on it is that unions have probably gained a lot of leverage in personnel matters because that's what districts have probably given away when they can't provide the funding and the other resources and support that Gary was talking about.
Bonnie Reese, is this a soluble problem, do you think?
It is, but I also want to say anyone that spends any time in Sacramento knows that the California Teachers Association has huge power. It's not just looking at collective bargaining agreements in the districts. They're exerting tremendous power on legislation and legislators. And anyone in Sacramento sees that. But I just want to make sure,
for good or for bad, in your opinion?
Well, sometimes for good and sometimes for bad. I mean, they were against Race to the Top. They've blocked. They came to testify against legislation that would say to school districts, would change current state law that says only seniority should be considered when it comes to laying off teachers, and that we should start considering the effectiveness of teachers. Again, not micromanaging this. That state law, the Huff bill, supported by Senator Romero and bipartisan support, would have just said to districts, you figure out with your unions how to do this. They block that. So sometimes it's not for the benefit. Sometimes it is for the benefit of the teachers and that aligns with students, and sometimes it's not for the benefit of students of what goes on in Sacramento and what the position that union takes. Again, many local unions are working fabulously with their school districts and trying to figure out evaluation methods. It's not that a fair evaluation method can't be achieved. It's the will needs to be there. And there's a reason that this discussion has raised again, Spencer. It's because Race to the Top put money forward and said to states, and 40 replied, that if you can come up with a plan that figures out how to improve student achievement, focus on turning around all your low-performing schools, and evaluates teachers and principals, then you've got a share of this money. And that's created this momentum. And if LA and other districts already had their own teacher evaluation methods going on and were figuring out who's effective and who's not, how do we support the ineffective teachers, et cetera, then the LA Times wouldn't have gone forward and published what they did. But it proves that if an LA Times could do it in 9 months, then clearly local teachers unions with their district leaders can as well. And this is where this is the next movement in public education in this country. And the movement is saying it is time to also evaluate and determine the effectiveness of the adults in whose care we place our children. That matters.
Okay, and the question, of course, is how do we do that, which is what we're trying to figure out. That was Bonnie Reese, California Secretary of Education. Katie Van Ginkle, who's the high school senior who's with us, wants to talk about this.
Right. What strikes me as odd is that earlier it was asked how the Schwarzenegger administration and the CTA can work together to get to the place we want to be.
Or the AFT.
Right, but where are the students in that statement? We're great stakeholders in education. The CTA already released an opposition opinion to this bill. It's voluntary and results are only released to teachers. I'm just scared, what kind of message would it send to the students of California if the teachers, parents, and the government of California didn't support a voluntary, proactive bill that creates a channel for student views and opens a dialogue between students and teachers? This is the first step in reforming our education system. SB 1422 is a very productive bill. Why aren't we taking it? We need to work together.
Well, maybe we are. Bonnie seemed to be
right.
Kind of optimistic.
Right. I mean, I just think that no one group can do it alone.
Right.
Why aren't we working together?
Well, that's the question. Yep. That's what we always deal with here.
And Spencer, I'm also on the Board of Regents for the University of California, and we have a voting student region, and it's an important voice. The State Board of Ed has a student member. It's an important voice. I think Katie's absolutely right in terms of the importance of students in this process, and let's not lose focus. That's quote, both the customer and the whole goal of who we're educating in the state. So I think Katie's right about that, and it is illuminating.
I don't think anyone would disagree with that, but whether that gets us to the core of the problem, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody says, yeah, sure, get some kids involved in this. Anyway, so let's see. I'm in big trouble here. So let's take a phone call here from Armand. Hi. Armand, go ahead.
Hi. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi. My question is, with respect to evaluating teachers based on standardized test performance, is that based on overall performance of students or improvement in particular classrooms and schools over time? Because obviously there's going to be a predisposition in affluent places for people to do well just on their own.
You want to try that, David?
Sure. Well, that is a good question, and it is kind of gets to the heart of different uses of tests. I think No Child Left Behind was correctly faulted because it tended to look at it tended to ignore a lot of those factors and insist on sort of everyone growing at the same rate at the same time kind of thing. The attempt of value-added measures is to try and address some of what Armand is talking about, so that you're comparing a student to himself or herself. The problem is that they make so many assumptions, and the precautions against that have been sounded by the RAND Corporation, actually, which 5 years ago said value-added measurement wasn't ready for prime time. Now they ran the numbers for the LA Times. Interesting development. Educational testing services have said that this isn't that value-added measurement is probably not good for teacher evaluation. And there are so many factors that affect student performance that are missing, and so many factors that affect teacher performance that are missing, so many factors in schools that cannot be separated, dozens and dozens of influential factors that can't even be identified, let alone controlled for in a statistical model.
We have an interesting email that raises an interesting question, I think. What are the incentives for students to perform at their best on the STAR standardized test? This is from Lewis. I found that there are no consequences for students to underperform on these tests since the scores are not part of the school records. Since there is no upside for students to perform and no downside for taking these tests lightly, how can these measure achievement? Anybody want to try that one?
Well, that's an interesting point.
Gary Ravani.
I think, you know, one of the things that we have been talking about in the AFT for a long time is 360-degree accountability. And I don't want to load all the responsibility onto the students here, but I think it is accurate that when it comes to the STAR test, as opposed to taking the ACT or the SAT for college entrance or something, there it really isn't usually a whole lot of incentive. Although now students who are looking at going into the UC system or the CSU system can actually use some of their state scores to as an advantage for themselves. But, you know, certainly in all the other grades, there isn't, you know, any kind of a consequence for students. But again, what I was talking about before, I think, is we're looking at a complicated system here that includes the interaction of students, the interaction including parents, obviously the teachers, district managements, school boards, the legislature, the governor's office, the state board of education. All of these groups are, you know, involved in a lot of complex decision making that impacts what goes on in the classroom and how that's looked at. But mostly what we're talking about is accountability for just one of those groups, and that's the teachers. And not only is that unfair, but it isn't a particularly effective way to look at, you know, the solving the problems. And, you know, there are issues. And I should mention, too, that, you know, when it comes to getting rid of bad teachers, which is the focus of, you know, most of the discussions now, we have about half of our teachers who leave the profession voluntarily in the first 5 years. I don't think it's unfair to say that we have a problem in this country and in this state keeping teachers, not getting rid of teachers.
That's
so that really ought to be a focus of our discussions.
All right. I want to ask Katie, because we brought up this issue of the tests. I mean, you're a senior. Right. You've been taking these tests for years.
Yeah.
Any incentive for you to do well on them?
I think that it really is determined a lot by your school environment, because a lot of times if your school's average STAR testing scores are of a higher quality, I think that there's more of a push in that school and in that environment to do better on those tests. I know in my school personally, we do very well on STAR tests. And so there is...
You go to a private school.
Right. And so there is a lot of push for that. I used to go to a public school in elementary school and in middle school. And even then, I went to good public schools and there was a great push to do well on those tests. But I don't think that there's a huge amount of incentive. I know that for CSUs and UCs, there is starting to be an incentive. But in the past, there really hasn't been any incentive at all.
Bonnie Reese, briefly, I mean, the whole question of testing and testing and testing and teaching to the test, isn't there some danger in that?
As long as our students are judged by tests, and as long as to gain college admission, both your grades and test scores are relevant, and the job market being what it is, then we do have to continue focusing on that being relevant. And that's the system we have in this country, and it's the competitive system we have in the job market and the global marketplace.
All right. Well, I think that's the answer on that. John in Sacramento, you're on forum. Good morning.
Hey, thank you. I'm listening to the conversation. I've heard it mentioned in passing a few times at least, but I think the fourth leg of that stool that the gentleman was analogizing earlier is the parents, and I have heard nothing substantive about engaging the parents, and I think anybody involved in teaching knows that the environment with the parents is key and crucial to the child's education.
Well, try to tie that into the, John, try to tie that in to the subject that we're talking about, which is evaluating teachers. Are you saying parents should be involved in the evaluation of teachers?
No, I'm saying parents need to be involved in the children's education, because evaluating teachers without engaging and or somehow having accountability on the parental side is even just that much more unfair.
Right. I don't think anybody would disagree that parents
But we've done nothing to engage or compel or anything like that to bring that. I mean, if we put that much focus that we like we are on the teachers, on the parents, I think you'd see a much larger change in the education system than what you're seeing now.
I think you're right. Interesting
call. Well, and our great teachers in the state and our great school district leaders recognize that, in fact, are doing that effectively because it is so important. And we do have a lot of great teachers, great school principals, and great school district leaders that recognize that and are currently doing that effectively.
All right. We'll take a call from John in Alameda before we run out of time here. Go ahead, John.
I completely agree with John from Sacramento that you have to be able to evaluate parents. There are other issues here. You cannot put teachers under the gun when you have funding at the bottom of the barrel nationwide and put all the load on them. You cannot just measure star test scores and make that the judgment of teacher effectiveness because there's so much else going on. And you also have to look not only at the parents of a particular child, but also whether kids are being bullied on the playground, whether the voters in a district are willing to put money in via parcel taxes and property taxes to support their local school.
All right. Make a good point. So, Bonnie Reese, just to wrap up, are you the least bit optimistic that we're going to get something that the teachers' unions and the government and the parents are going to go for in terms of evaluation?
I'm very optimistic because it's happening at many school districts in California right now, and I believe that as they do it, other districts that are hesitant and other local school unions that are hesitant will see neighboring school districts with their teachers' unions moving forward on this, and it will create us a sea change in our state and in our country, which will be beneficial to all our students.
And we'll have to figure out a way how to measure that sea change, which is what we've been talking about for the last hour. I want to thank all of our guests today, David Cohn, who teaches 9th and 10th grades at Palo Alto High School and is a leader of Accomplished California Teachers, Gary Ravani with the California Federation of Teachers and a 31-year middle school teacher in Petaluma, Bonnie Reese, California Secretary of Education in the Schwarzenegger administration, and Katie Van Ginkle, who is our student who is with us today from Arroyo Pacific High School, going to be a senior. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Get into a good college. Do well on all those standardized tests. So thanks very much for listening. It's a fascinating subject, and we'll hear about it some more. I'm Spencer Michaels, and this is Forum from KQED Public Radio.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanakos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.